Chapter 7. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. The word of the Lord. This summer, I've started watching this TV series called Madam Secretary. And it's a drama about a woman who's ex-CIA. She's the mother of three. She's married to a religion professor, and not the frumpy kind, of course. He's, you know, the good-looking, all-around, good American guy there. And she is appointed Secretary of State by the president when her predecessor has this untimely death. And I've so enjoyed watching this show, and I think it's for a couple reasons. One is because it gives me a little perspective. I come home, and I can sit on my couch in the evening and watch this powerhouse of a woman in between lunch dates with her husband and witty conversations with her teenagers and her staff make these huge life and death decisions for whole populations or for individuals. And I think, well, I didn't have to do that today. Also, the story is compelling. I don't always like the dramas where, you know, the news cycle is pulled into the show. Sometimes that hits a little close to home for me. But this one, the story is compelling because the struggle of the ethics of what to do is really real. And the characters, we see their different motivations. And there's not a real clear way to say who's right and who's wrong about what they have decided to do. And there's because they're all struggling with the best way to save the day. And there's this overarching sense of seeking hope and justice for the tiny little struggling country to the one lost soldier. And so in its own way, it offers this perspective on our own world today and the issues that we face. And how do we engage as a people of this world, of this country, of our own community? Now, in the past several weeks, there has been a lot of violence and racism and terrorism and evil have been all over our 24-hour news cycle. As soon as one event is finished, another one is underway. It can be really overwhelming. As pastors, we've had more emails and visits and phone calls, just people wanting to have a conversation about how to process this, what to do, how to make a statement, what kind of action to take. And sometimes I feel a little inadequate being called upon in those conversations because, yes, I can listen and sit in that struggle and name God's promises, but what I really, really want is to be that sassy, intelligent Madam Secretary who can just fix it and tell everybody, well, this is how it's going to be now. There's also these other voices that I'm starting to hear, a little quieter, but the voices of completely withdrawing. The one saying, well, I'm not going to watch any news. I'm not going to read the paper. I'm not going to be on social media. I'm not paying attention until this election cycle is over. And on one hand, I'm a little envious because they seem a little calmer. But on the other, I know that as a Christian in this world, we have a voice. And we are called, as Martin Luther says, to have the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, and that our voice and our thoughts and how we act matter and affect this world. So, all the gun violence and buildings blowing up and children run down by a car in France and men dying while social media posts it for us to comment upon and debate, all of this is a tear in the fabric of humanity, because it all feels as though we're trying to live in this either or world. Like, we live in a place with two choices, you know. Either you support Black Lives Matter or you don't. Either you think Muslims are all terrorists or you don't. Either you support police officers or you just can't. Either you stand in judgment of others or you take a stance that says what others do is nothing to me. Our scripture today, Matthew 7, verse 1, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged," is one of those verses that gets misused in this either-or kind of a way. It contributes to the breaking and tearing of our community. Too often this verse is just kind of, it's pulled out in it, of this whole Sermon on the Mount, these chapters in Matthew where Jesus is talking to the people about community, about how to live together, about how to walk and be disciples of Christ. And it's either used as an excuse to say what other people do in this world doesn't matter, so I'm just going to ignore it and move on, or permission to say what I do in this world doesn't have an effect on other people. And it's not as always as blatant as that. I think it comes up kind of in our inner thoughts, like, well, I don't like what happened there or what he or she did, but I'm not supposed to judge, so I'm just going to disengage. Or to justify our own behavior. You know, I'm not supposed to judge, so you all aren't supposed to judge either. So what I do and how it affects how others think or feel or act just doesn't really matter. These are really great ways to avoid the truth of what Jesus is calling us to do and how Jesus is calling us to be in community. See, Jesus right here is speaking real specifically. He's speaking about a group, the Pharisees, and he's speaking clearly about how they are engaging in community. They are living hypocritically, he says. He accusing others of not following the laws of God and breaking covenant when they themselves are picking the laws that they want to follow and also making this law, the laws over and above the greatest commandment to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor. See, the Pharisees have a leadership role. They have a voice. They have the power to tear down or build up their community. And Jesus is calling them out on their choice to create divisions instead of unity. They are living in an either-or kind of way that doesn't leave room for the kingdom of God, which has a lot more both and within it, and a lot more reality of how we live as community together. When Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you may be judged," he's saying that judgment without love, judgment without knowing our own place and seeing the other side, is no way to live into the promises of God, to live into the ways that we bring hope and justice to the world, or into the unity that God so desires for ourselves and for our neighbors, even the ones we don't like or the ones that we disagree with. This verse is not passive. It's actually calling us to action. It's calling us to action to know what motivates us and sends us into the world and knowing the story of the other. Jesus' words for us here can be more like a pause or a deep breath to see more fully the world around us. It's good advice, especially "do not judge" for those of us who fantasize about getting to be like Judge Judy and just, you know, standing up and telling everyone to stop it and see it my way. Or those of us who would really just like to slink away and pretend that we don't need to engage with others and that we don't need to be a part of community together. Jesus' words make judgment about going towards community, not away from it. There was this pastor, a Black woman pastor from Lutheran Seminary in Chicago, who posted a sermon and several statements over the past couple weeks, wanting to create relationship and being very clear about how she was going towards her community. And one thing she says is, "I'm coming after all my cousins." And she means she's not just going towards those who are Black, but towards those who are white as well. She's coming after us not just to change our minds about racism, but to invite us in to relationship, and to invite us into being in our own wholeness, so that we ask ourselves, what am I missing out on by not being in relationship with her, or with the gay kid down the street, or the Hispanics in our community, or the Mormons building their temple? Solidarity and community looks like uncovering the truth on all sides, so that God's light of love and reconciliation can shine on it. Judging is about the self and the ego and the walls that are put up to divide us. And love is always about the other, the neighbor, and running towards one another in this spirit of grace and mercy, even in the midst of disagreement and conflict. As we walk as Christians in this world, the struggle of ethics is very real. And it's one of the most beautiful things about walking as a Lutheran in this world is that it's a theology that some would say could save the world, because we are willing to walk into that struggle and to name God as being right there too. We're willing to have conversations that live in the gray area. We are willing to sit beside people who are not just like us and move towards our community with a spirit of grace. The answers are not always simple, and the debates are one that really might tear at our guts or affect our hearts. But the story of God and the stories of our walk with God are compelling. This is where we remember that Jesus promises that God doesn't let us go, doesn't let us go from God, and does not let us go from one another. Jesus is about running towards us, reminding us that justice and hope and mercy are more real than the evil that shows up. One person gunned down the people in Orlando. One car drove through the crowds, and thousands of people responded with words and comfort and food and hope and hands and voices that stood in solidarity with them. God keeps coming towards us, showing up in miracles that bring strangers and friends together, in coffee shops where police officers buy the coffee for the black family next to them, in communities like ours that come together across religious lines to feed and clothe and house those who are in need. God shows up in casseroles and cookies that surround families who are mourning, and in the prayers delivered to those who are suffering or in pain. God is there. God is here in all of that, and in all of our human, messy, beautiful, diverse inadequacy as well. God's promise to us all is that all the ways that we have been judged, all the ways that we will be judged, all the ways that we will judge, that God's final judgment of love and forgiveness is what stands, and that God promises to go with us as we go towards one another in love. So as we prayed earlier today, may the Lord make you an instrument of peace. Where there is hatred, sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, bring union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, bring hope. And when there is darkness, bring the light, knowing that God goes with you. Amen.